I want to talk to you briefly about discovering the call of God on your life. You heard a little bit from Shannon this morning of just sharing her journey when she came. And she's been with us for 7 years, but I feel like watching her grow just in confidence and taking more risks and then going, getting an education and stepping out. Well, Tracy, who was our secretary before Shannon, it was a similar dynamic of watching Tracy, just in the context, start to dream, and now she's doing Dance on It and Fit for It here, and people are experiencing Jesus through the work that she's doing, and she's thriving in it. Now, Life Tree, our passage of Scripture that we refer to as our foundation, is Proverbs 13:12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, but a longing or a dream fulfilled is the tree of life. You see, when we have hope deferred, what happens is there's sickness, in one sense, in our thinking and on an emotional level, and hope starts to dissipate. And all of our faith is rooted in the hopes that we have. And we have to sometimes get beyond the hopes that have been lost, where we can't see anything move forward. There's a story we know of Abram. He was called by God, and he was called from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to a land that he didn't know. And not knowing where he was going, not knowing what was awaiting him, he took the risk and he trusted God and he obeyed and he went. But him going was his destiny and his inheritance of what God called him to. But he didn't have a plan. He didn't have the answer to all the questions. But he simply obeyed and he launched out. Well, Andrew and Terry, their story is very similar as well. Andrew, 3 more months and he could have gotten early retirement. But they went. He didn't even know what he was going to when they went to Uganda. He felt like he was to go and just listen. He had no plan. He didn't have very much provision. He simply obeyed and he went. And as they went, they started discovering what it was that God had for them. I want to say, every single one of you have a call of God on your life. That calling in Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, I, a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk worthy of the calling that you have received. It's past tense. That word calling means it's an invitation, but it also means that it's a vocation. So it's not an occupation of something that you do for money, but it's your vocational identity. In verse 7 it says, to each and every one of us grace has been given, past tense. That what the Lord Jesus did is He led prisoners of war, which we all were at one time, and now we're prisoners of hope. He led those prisoners of war captive, and he gave those prisoners of war now as gifts to men, and those gifts, some of them, I've given you the grace to be apostles. Some of you, I've given the grace to be prophets. Some of you, I've given the grace to be an evangelist. Some of you, the grace to be a pastor or to be a teacher. But each and every one of you, I have given grace. But it's a calling, and it means it's an invitation, but it also can mean a summons. But it says, many are called and few are chosen. The reality is that each one of us are called, but to be chosen, it's what's called a middle voice verb. In other words, we have to respond to the call. It's based upon a proposal that Jesus is saying, this is what I have for you. And yet he doesn't give us a whole lot of details. Sometimes it's come and follow me. Sometimes there's very little information. But what we see in the context of Scripture, of God speaking to Jeremiah when he was a young boy, and he says, before you were born, I knew you. I knew you, Jeremiah, before you were born. And I called you to be a prophet to the nations. Well, Jeremiah never ever left Israel. But he prophesied over the nations of the earth. And he was a prophet to the nations. Paul, probably the worst antichrist of the day, killing Christians, persecuting them, imprisoning them. What he says in Galatians 1:15, he said, God chose me. He called me before I was born. And he chose to reveal Christ in me in order that I might preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And then he talks about his apostleship. So he's identifying with vocational identity. I'm an apostle. I'm called to preach. And it's to the Gentiles. And so there's a whole lot of that's there. His audience. How he's supposed to show up as an apostle. What he's supposed to do. And he's saying all of this was there in place before I was born. In Proverbs 1:4, it talks about the purpose of the Proverbs is that we would be able to understand our design and our destiny. How many of you have got it all figured out? You know your design. You know your destiny. Got all the details understood of why you're here on the planet. Emma Gillespie, come on up here and tell us how you did it. Emma's the only one that put up her hand. Emma, how old are you now? 21? 21 years of age, and she understands the fullness of the design and the destiny of God, of God's plan for her life.
That's awesome.
I need help. Emma was just joking, just so you know. Mostly joking. You really need to talk to me. My desire is as a leader that we are to equip the body to do the work of the ministry. I want to say if you're a Christian, you're in full-time ministry. If you're a Christian, you're a full-time missionary. When Jesus said, all of heaven, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. It really means as you go. So if you're in business, you're a missionary in business. You need to treat your business like ministry, and those in ministry need to treat their ministry like business. If you didn't get it, I'll say it again. Shannon says I say random things and later people understand it. You've got to treat your business like ministry and your ministry like business. Of knowing you're already in full-time ministry. Whether you're being monetized or remunerated for that, you are in full-time ministry. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You are kingdom leaven in whatever sphere you are currently in. Some of you, though, when I say that you might be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, it's your calling, which means it's an invitation. You go through a training before a commissioning and the release takes place. Paul was called on the road to Damascus. Jesus confronted him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Calls him by his old name before his name is changed, because his identity has changed, that his destiny has changed. But he says, why are you persecuting me? And as Paul is converted, Paul begins to preach and he begins to teach, and he even has followers already in Damascus. And they're trying to kill him, but he gets let down by a wall on a rope in a basket. But then he continues to be faithful to what God has put in his heart. And then in Acts 13, which some say maybe 17 years later, as they're worshiping the Lord with fasting and prayer, the Holy Spirit says, set Paul and Barnabas apart to the work that I've called them to. And there's a commissioning in an apostolic way, but there's the time he was called is when Jesus, even before he was born, but then Jesus confronts him. But he goes through training, and then he goes through a commissioning and a releasing. Some of you are experiencing the commissioning and that commissioning and that releasing. Some of you are still discovering your calling. Some of you are in the midst of training. But my heart is for us to understand. I may be apostolic in the four in Life Tree Church and in other spheres. But some of you are called to be apostles in business. Some of you with VIHA. Some of you in the area of education. Some of you are prophets. Some of you are evangelists. Some of you are pastors and teachers. But it's within the sphere that you're either in or that you're called to. And we need the understanding that every single one of us are bringing Jesus and his kingdom into that sphere. That's the authority we have to the place that he's called us to. And yet some of you are just understanding that in a greater way, recognizing I'm in full-time ministry. I'm a missionary. And it's as I go, I'm making disciples wherever I am. I'm teaching people about Jesus. I'm immersing them in the nature, which is baptism. I'm immersing people in the nature of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm teaching them to obey all I've commanded you. Sometimes in our Western world, we're trying to convert people and then we're discipling them. But Jesus is adding the other half of that equation where we disciple people unto conversion. We're teaching them how, what the Word of God has to say. This is how marriage works. This is how parenting works. This is how finance works. This is how health works. This is how life works. It's in the book. The book covers every single need and question that is known to man. And we need to extrapolate those truths that are written in history, that are there in different contexts, to be able to put them within the time and the space and where we're at and bring wisdom and revelation to the people that are around us to meet their need where they are at. This is much more than just getting butts into heaven about people saved, and I want to see as many butts in heaven as we can. And I want to see butts in the seats here as well. But you know what? Even equally as true is I want His kingdom to come on earth just as it is in heaven, in you and through you. And that's the other half of the equation. That's the discipling people unto conversion. The world has needs, and you know who has the answer? Jesus does, but it's through you, His body. You're His voice, you're His hands, you're His feet, and you're able to represent Him. But you can't do it like anybody else. Some of you, your vocational identity is as an apostle or a prophet. Stop trying to be a pastor. Stop maybe trying to be an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist, but you have to show up in the way that God has designed you and not try to be like somebody else. Not compare yourself to others. And just simply show up and disciple people with the light that you have. I want to say, in this journey of the progression, from the time that you were called, even if you don't know your call, if you walk in the light that you've been given, more light's going to come. You want to know the specifics of what I'm supposed to do, or what's God's plan for my life, and I want more details. God, I need more information. I tell you, when you walk in the light that you have, that's simply revealed in what's written in His Word, and you're seeking to apply that, more is given. When we're faithful with little, more is given. There's too many people asking God for revelation and more light, and they're not even walking in the little bit of light that they do have. How can God trust you with more light if you're not faithful with the light that's been revealed in the simplicity of His Word, or the simplicity of the light of go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you? I believe that the Great Commission is the outward expression and fulfillment of the great commandments of loving God and loving one another. It's the way that we do it. I can't call myself a follower of Jesus or a disciple of Jesus unless I'm making disciples. It's not just about character. It's about my relationship with Him and the Father. It's about walking in His Word. But it's about making disciples. That's one of the characteristics that we can say, okay, if I'm doing that and I'm following Him by making disciples, then maybe I'm a disciple. Because it's part of that process. And as we're walking in the faith and faithful to the light that we're given, more is given. If you're asking for wisdom or revelation in particular areas of life, if you're looking for guidance, if you're looking for direction, when you walk in the light that you have, more is given. As you move closer and closer to doing what God has designed you for, you're going to come alive. Terry Bannon, her testimony was when she was in Uganda for the first time, she looked in the mirror and she went, "There you are." And she said, "It was like for the very first time I recognized myself and I realized who I was and I realized what I'm on this earth for." And I'll say, Andrew is doing amazing work all over the place, but Terry is fulfilling the most important call by being a mother to two Ugandan children that they've taken in. And they've adopted. And now they're looking at Precious. Just so you know, we can pray for them. You know where Terry's heart is. And Andrew's still going, I don't know. This is going to hold me back from the work I want to do up there. And so we can pray for them. But my heart is that there's more of a team that's built up around them. So they have more capacity to do even more. But my desire is for Life Tree, that you're in a context, that you start to hope, and you start to walk towards those hopes, that you start walking in the light that you have, and you start getting a greater revelation of the purpose and destiny that God has for your life. Now, when I say purpose and destiny, you know, one day I'm going to have to, I want to teach a lesson called Confessions of an Idolater. And when I say that, so often the very things that God calls us to or has designed us for can actually become the greatest hindrance to us. And so I will say, recently, the Lord's brought something to the surface again. A focus showing me that I'm focused on wanting to leave a legacy. And Him asked me, Bruce, is that for me or for you? For your name or mine? For your glory or for mine? And I go 50-50. A little bit of you, a little bit of me. And then He started showing me my desire to fulfill my destiny. And is that for you or for me? 50-50. And I'm starting to see the dynamics of where my heart is at. He wants me to leave a legacy. He wants me to fulfill a destiny. But He wants it for His name and for His glory and for His honor. And when I'm doing it, I find life. I tell you, very simple thing. The more I'm confessing my sin, the more I'm confessing my idolatry in the different areas, the more refreshing I'm experiencing in His presence. It says, repent and turn to the Lord, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When I'm confessing and I'm repenting, there's refreshing that comes. There's also a rest that comes, and I start hearing like never before. Because the Word of God says there's no rest for the wicked. And I tell you, whenever my heart is wicked, if my motive being mixed, I don't have peace. I'm not at rest. There's a battle that's going on the inside of me, and I can think, oh, it's spiritual warfare. I'm under attack. Or it's the circumstance. They're horrible right now. What's going on? If you only knew. And the Lord's saying, no, the problem is you've got either sin in your heart or you've got an idol in your heart. Because when you confess it and you repent of it, there's a peace that transcends understanding. There's a rest that you come into and you start seeing and hearing clearly. And you're just walking in a peace. So, if anybody anxious recently? Nobody? Just a few of you? I was there for a minute on that delay. I thought maybe it's only me. I will say, I am so understanding the simplicity of every time I'm confessing to people around me, not just to God, and I'm confessing sin and idolatry, I start feeling so good. I start getting so empowered. I start getting so refreshed. I start experiencing a stillness and hearing His voice. Because you know what? There's mixture in our hearts often. Wrong motives often. Tracy's saying always. Tracy,
for me.
I can't imagine that for you. For me, I can see it. But for you, no way.
Shannon knows.
Shannon knows? Shannon, has Tracy been confessing stuff to you? But I tell you, the very rejection we're afraid of, or being shamed or being guilted, really the opposite is what we experience. We'll usually experience people loving and accepting us. And if that's not what you experience, I'll say you're confessing to the wrong people. Find somebody else. Find somebody that's going to love you and accept you. Find somebody that's going to tell you who you really are. Tell you about your identity and your destiny, and encourage you that if you continue the way that you're going, you're not going to experience the destiny and the life that God has planned for you.
know, even Cyrus, the Persian king, Isaiah prophesied about his birth 150 years before he was born. You got to realize he's not a Jew. He's not necessarily a God follower. And before he's born, it says, Cyrus is my shepherd, my anointed. He's going to free my captive people from Babylon. He's going to send them back to Jerusalem and Israel, and it's going to be rebuilt. And they're going to lay the foundation of the temple again. So God has a destiny for somebody that doesn't know him, doesn't honor him, and he has a plan for his life. How much more a plan for yours? And I tell you, when you start discovering it, and you go through your training and you start walking in it, you're going to say what Jesus said. My meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. And you're going to come alive, because I'll tell you, Andrew and Terry, I love them, but they were two boring people. I say it jokingly. But I tell you, they sat at the back, Sunday after Sunday, year after year. When Terry came to Uganda, she came alive. Andrew came and he came alive. They're walking in their destiny. They're fulfilling their God-given purpose. But it's taken risk. It's taken faith. As I talk to older people, you know what? When I ask them, so, tell me what some of your regrets are. I said, my number one regret is not having taken more risks. Not having taken more risks. When I say that, I'm not talking about necessarily leaving your job, leaving a particular circumstance or situation, but finding that place of what God is doing in it with the people around you and stepping into that. It might require stepping out of different things and into something new. But I tell you, my heart is that you're so walking with people and that we have a culture whereby that you're able to, whether it's confess, whether it's able to share your dreams, or whether you're able to process where the hope is, what's dissipating the hope. Again, back to Abraham, his father was Terah, and he had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And it was in Terah's heart to go to Canaan land, which was the promised land, was the destiny and the inheritance for Abraham and all of Israel, all future generations. It was a legacy, a destiny, an inheritance for all of them. And yet it was in Terah's heart to go. But his youngest son, Haran, died while Ur of the Chaldeans. But he continues to go on this journey, and he's two-thirds way to Canaan land, the promised land. Two-thirds way, he comes to a town. The name of the town is called Haran. The same name as the name of his son that he loves. And it says that Terah settled there until he died. Sometimes we can start moving forward from a loss, from a regret, from a grief. And something's going to trigger you, and you're going to settle in a place until you die. And you're not going to continue to move to the very destiny that God has put in your heart. You might not even know what it is, but if you're walking in the light once again that has been revealed in his word, more light is given. And my heart is, whatever disappointments, whatever hope deferred that you've gone through, it has to be dealt with so you can have, you can become like Zechariah 9:11 says, because of the blood of my covenant that I've made with you, says the Lord, I'm going to free your prisoners from the waterless pit, which there's no refreshing, no way out of. And then it says, return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Prisoners of hope, and see if I will not restore double to you. Now there's a returning. The Lord's saying, this is what I'm going to do, but you have to return to me, your orphans, you prisoners of hope. He wants you to be captivated by hope. Living in a place of hope, because he's the God of hope. He says, may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. May you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're doing that, I assure you that you're going to not only fulfill the dreams that God has given you. And when I say that your dreams, I predominantly mean the dreams he's put in your heart. They're really a partnership. They're yours and they're his. They're both. And he wants them to be birthed. He wants them to be nurtured. He wants them to come to fruition, not for your name or glory or honor, but for his. And I tell you, when you're doing this, then it's like, you can say like Jesus, my meat, what nourishes me, what strengthens me, is doing his will and finishing his work. And my heart is that we go on a journey and that we become a people that are creating a culture wherever we are that people begin to hope again. That people want to discover, what on earth am I here for? What has he got planned for my life? And that they take the risk. They start walking in the light they have. And they become amazed at how much more light starts coming for the specifics and the details of the questions that they're asking in other areas. And the wisdom of how to move forward from where you are to the place that he's bringing you. That's my desire. How many of you feel like, you know what, you've overcome things and you're walking, whether in part of your God-given destiny and calling? And how many of you feel like there's still a whole lot more? Okay. I'm not alone once again. So I want to pray for you. This morning, I'm not going to give any, I don't want to give any public words, but I tell you, my heart is full. That there's a few of you aren't going to approach and speak over, but I want you to speak over one another, encourage one another. Say, God, do you have a word for new me, for somebody here? Because you'll be amazed when you start speaking into people's life and you think of something simple, watching what God does. Maybe before I transition, Jamie, do you want to share what you were carrying or do you want to wait? This is my daughter, Jenny. Her and her husband, Donald, have moved to Sarajevo, Bosnia. And so they are working there. They've just bought a CrossFit business. And their business is in a phenomenal ministry. But it is, for me, one of the hopeless places on the planet that I've ever been to. And I've been to difficult places that have a whole lot greater need. But the mindset of the hopelessness of the people is astounding, because they started making progress and having so much. And then, through the wars, through the last one, losing so much, and, you know, it's, what is it, over 50% unemployment? 51% unemployment. Some people go to work, and they don't get paychecks, but they're afraid that if they stop going, they're going to not have a job to go to. And so there's many other factors, but I'm just wanting Jenny to just share what she's carrying for this. She's here for 5 weeks, actually 3.5 more. So Jenny, if you could just share, and we're going to pray for people.
Okay. All right, I just have a little thing to share that I've been talking with Dad about, and just that parable of the master who gave talents to his servants, and they went off, two of them invested them, and one of them buried his because he was didn't know what to do with it, couldn't decide, was afraid of making a mistake with it and losing it. And the master came back and he was pleased with the two that ventured out and, you know, invested it. And the third one who did nothing with it, the master was upset with him. And I just feel like we are called, we all have talents, we have gifts, we have desires, we have ideas, and that the Lord is pleased when we use it for his kingdom, rather than be afraid of making a mistake. And I think that third servant who did nothing with it would have had more pleasure from the master had he ventured out and made a risk and lost it all and failed. And I think there's the real element that holds us back of this fear of people and fear of failing in others' eyes and not focusing on the Lord's pleasure. And it's like we've stepped out and we've gone to Bosnia and we didn't know everything that would come up, even in this past year, so much has opened up for us. And we kind of went knowing and feeling God is going to want us in some business there. We didn't know it was going to be CrossFit, and that opened up, and it felt like a big risk to jump in and say yes to that. But the fear that we were having is the failure of it. And it was like just God telling us, you can trust me. I've set this up for you. I've prepared the way. The whole story of it is really good and a little bit too long, but it's just, you've started on that, and it's just like feeling the Lord's pleasure in taking the risk and in trusting Him, and just being reminded time and time again this year and through our lives that we can trust Him and that we can step out and not be afraid of failure. And the more that we can just let go of other people's opinions and just look for the Lord's pleasure in the choices that we make, there's just been so much life and excitement in our family in doing that. And we just feel God's pleasure, and we're excited for what's coming and the relationships already built that that we're involved in. But I just wanted to encourage all of you that I see and I feel so much life in this community, and so many people are stepping up and taking risks. And, you know, I hear stories from people of just encounters they've had and places of being obedient to the Lord, and just the joy that there is in taking those chances and being obedient. And it's not always cut and clear, like God's direction. God, what do you want me to do with my life? What's your will for me? What's my destiny? But there's so much room for our creativity and God being with us and encouraging and blessing the things that we choose to do. Like those three servants of the master, he didn't tell them what to do with their talents. They just had a chance to be creative with it. And we have that chance too. What's before you? What excites you? What are you drawn to? What's your passion? Use it for His kingdom. It can all be used for His kingdom.
Yeah.
And there's one other... Oh. One other parable that I've been pondering lately about the father who goes to two of his sons. First son, he says, go work in my vineyard. And the son says, no, I will not. And later, he changes his mind and he goes and works in it. And then he goes to his second son, says, go work in my vineyard. And the son says, okay, I will. But doesn't go. And Jesus asks, who was the obedient son? Well, the first one who said, no, I'm not going to, but changed his mind. And Jesus says it to, you know, his people, to the Pharisees, saying, there are tax collectors and prostitutes advancing my kingdom and passing you, because you have said yes. And us here, we have said yes, that most of us in here have made a choice to follow Jesus and to advance His kingdom and to go for it and to not be, well, judging the people who are new believers and going for it and maybe doing it messy, but to go for it ourselves and step out. Not that it's a competition or a race with the other people, but He did say they are passing you in the kingdom, in advancing His kingdom. So step out, go for it.
Thank you, Jen. I'm releasing you to children, but as you go, as Jenny spoke, the Lord would say to me about discovery and creation. You can discover your identity in Christ. You cannot create that. But after your discovery of your identity, you can co-create your destiny. And sometimes you're trying to discover the future, and the Lord said you're the co-author, and you're to co-create, and you're to imagineer the future together with Him. And you're to trust that you're created in the image and likeness of God, and He's given you a creative ability, and you're trying to discover answers where the Lord's sometimes saying, I want you to create the answers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come. And Lord, whether it's one step or two, we'd start walking in the light that we have, knowing that more light is going to be given. And we want to be faithful to what you've given to us, knowing that as we do, you give us more. So, Father, whatever our obstacles are, that you'd remove them. And we'd have a passion like Paul. I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. To fulfill the purpose that I'm here for on this earth. For your glory, for your name, your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.